How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the Travel and Adventure Photography School podcast. As always, I'm your host, Robert Massey, and today we're embarking on an exhilarating journey into the dynamic realm of mobile photography for your adventures. In this episode, we're digging into how and why you should be using your phone to capture your adventures, and why you don't always necessarily need to take that big mirrorless or big DSLR with you, and how your mobile camera can actually be one of the most powerful tools in your creative kit. So we're going to explore those multifaceted aspects of mobile photography, look at its advantages, the obvious disadvantages, and those accessories and ideas and tools that you can use to help make your mobile photography happen. All right. I am absolutely thrilled to have you accompany me on this immersive exploration of mobile photography. As passionate explorers and storytellers, we understand the intrinsic value of preserving our most cherished memories, our most cherished moments, and those moments that happen just while you're out there and while you don't necessarily have your big camera with you, whether that's because you just went out for a walk or because you're doing something big and you didn't want that extra weight with you. There's all sorts of times and moments where you just will have your smartphone on you. And that doesn't mean you can't create incredible art out of your adventures. Let's get going. I'm not going to waste your time by talking about why mobile photography is a valid way to create your art and to capture your photographs and your videos. It's a waste of everybody's time. But I'm going to talk just a little bit about the different types of phones and their importance. So the typical adage is, it's not about the gear. It's not about the camera you have, the lens you have, or anything like that, which is true to a point. I think all of us who capture photos for a living understand we can create great photos with a lot of different types of equipment, but it sure gets a lot easier and those images get a lot prettier when you have better gear. And that's the same with mobile photography. Because honestly, the type of smartphone you wield can significantly impact what you are capturing. Flagship models like the iPhone 15 Pro, the Samsung Galaxy Ultra, the Google Pixel, pretty much any of those higher-end phones boost phenomenal camera systems with multiple lenses, multiple optical zoom options, computational photography algorithms, advanced low-light performance, all sorts of amazing photographic features that you really need to be able to capture adventures on the go. And I'd say even more so than the difference between a low-end DSLR and a high-end DSLR, the difference between a low-end mobile camera and a high-end mobile camera? Insane. Absolutely insane. And that's partly because, at least when you buy a low-end camera, you're still buying a camera. It still has the sensor, still has all those kind of fun pieces in it. When you're buying a low-end mobile phone, one of the ways that they're cutting costs to keep that phone down is by taking out all those fun photography features, all those advanced photography features that we really love having and kind of need to have while we're on the go. So that's one of the places that you can't really skip out on. You can certainly create really cool photos. I just saw an entire gallery show that someone wanted to show this, that we don't need to always be upgrading our equipment. And they shot everything they had on an iPhone 4. And it was all amazing. And it was kind of just showing that if you have the time and the energy and the effort and the intelligence and the artistic skill, you can make anything out of this, but they were in a perfect setting. They were shooting portraits in a studio with lights and everything else that you could possibly need. Because we are travel and adventure photographers and videographers and creatives, we are on the go. We are flying through things. We don't have the advantage of setting up lights all the time, of being in perfect lighting conditions or anything like that. So this is one of those instances where having one of those flagship devices really offers you that plethora of creative tools and functionalities that you need to unleash your artistic vision and elevate your photography. That all being said, you really do need to understand your mobile phone's inherent strengths and limitations and what you can and can't do with it, just like you would your regular camera, to really get the most out of it. And as always, you can take really cool photos in great spots, but without a story behind them, an emotion behind them, or a meaning behind them, it's just a pretty photo. And when you're doing travel and adventure work, you really want to elevate that. So you can really do that with your mobile phone. All right, there are a myriad of advantages to mobile photography, especially amongst us adventurers. At the forefront, as always, it's that unparalleled convenience. Our smartphones are a presence in our daily life. I'm sure mine's just sitting on the desk. If I was to reach out, I probably was within an arm's reach right now. And I'm sure that's the same for pretty much all of us. In fact, I think I have two phones sitting on my desk right now. And that's the way they are. They are a part of our everyday life. They accompany us on pretty much every adventure, every bit of travel, everywhere we go. And so they are really poised to capture things at a moment's notice. But beyond convenience, honestly, modern smartphones boast an array of sophisticated camera technologies that can rival DSLRs, especially those original models, in their prowess. There's really high-resolution sensors out there. There's advanced autofocus systems with computational photography being added in there. And there's some really amazing dynamic range that's being added to some of those sensors. So you can actually recover quite a bit from the shadows and the highlights. Obviously not as much as you would with high-end flagship Sonys and Canons and Nikons, but you can do a lot given it's a little tiny sensor inside of a phone. And beyond that, your editing is built right in, which is an amazing thing to be able to just pop open an app on your phone like Lightroom Mobile or whatever and just start editing and be done that photo and finish it entirely from start to finish right on the device that captured it. Which is such a huge advantage in my eyes, especially if you're out traveling and you've gone for a nice long hike and you've got a 2-hour drive back and someone else is driving. You can actually sit in the back of the car, pull open your phone, select the photos you shot, edit them right then and there, turn them around and upload them straight into wherever you want to send them. If it's to your friends, into their phones, if it's to Instagram, or if it's onto your website, whatever it is that you're doing, you can turn that all around without having to upload a card, wait for them to process, decide on all the little tiny pieces. It's just right there in front of you. It's much more tactile too, which is one of my favorite things about editing on a phone or on an iPad, is that it's very tactile. I don't really necessarily love editing with a mouse or even with one of the tablets that you can draw on and see what's happening on the screen, but it's not happening underneath your fingers. So I really love that when I want to brush a photo, I can just brush it with my thumb. I can just brush right across the screen. I can tap on what I want to change. I can move things around. Everything is done with my hands. And that is such a brilliant way to build things artistically. And it really helps me get into those photos. And I find being on my computer, not doing that as much. And I don't dig around as much. It's not as much fun to edit on there. So phones have that huge advantage in my eyes of just being a more fun device to edit on. Now, all of that being said, there are also a ton of disadvantages to our mobile photography, and it's crucial that we acknowledge these. There are those inherent limitations around sensor size that you just can't get the same kind of depth of field or even the same dynamic range that you can in full frame or micro four thirds or crop sensor sensors. Smaller sensors inherently capture less light. They can have a slightly less image quality, particularly in low-lighted environments. They don't give us quite as much flexibility for blowing up images and making them bigger or getting detail when you really want to make a nice, big, huge print. So it really limits us in the size of images we can produce. Algorithms and AI are really helping us be able to blow those images up better, but they're still not quite the same. Those computational algorithms still just aren't quite there to really get big, beautiful images. I also find that while you can go into manual on a lot of smartphones, especially if you're downloading secondary shooting apps, that it's still really clunky and really difficult to change your settings on the fly. I was a sports photographer for years, and it was incredibly helpful for me to be able to change my settings as things were happening in the game and to change what it was that I was shooting. And it was just a lot more seamless of an experience using a proper camera. So those granular controls that are offered on our DSLRs and our mirrorlesses, they just aren't there on mobile photography. And that's okay. We just have to adapt as we're shooting and how we shoot. For me, there's also a struggle in getting different looks and different feels. I really love shooting on really long lenses. I like 200 and 300 and 400 millimeter lenses. And replicating that feeling and that style on even flagship phones just isn't quite there yet. Digital zoom, still not even close in my eyes as there is to like those big optical zooms. And optical zooms, good, but I don't feel like they're nearly as good as the standard lens on pretty much any mobile phone I've used. So those limitations around zooming and around just the quality of those lenses that are on there are definitely still really prevalent. And really the one other thing that is a huge downfall to me to mobile photography is actually one that's really easy to be solved, but because it's meant to be capturing on the go and capturing as we're running gunning things, is actually that I have a tendency to forget to clean my lenses. I will do that really frequently when I'm out with my proper camera, but I was out for a trail run this morning, was running up Tunnel Mountain, and got to the top, and there was this really cool looking snowstorm that was happening up there. Actually, the town was visible, but there was just snow blowing everywhere, and I just whipped my camera out and started shooting, and then realized that was in a pocket that I was just running. It was a little bit sweaty and a little bit dirty, and so I went and I cleaned the lenses and I went back and I shot again. And just inherently, because of where we put our smartphones, in our pockets and into running vests and just anywhere, basically, we tend to have a lot more dirt on those lenses than we realize. And we tend to just pull our phones out and just start shooting. And if you don't think about cleaning those lenses off when you start shooting, that can cause a huge problem. You can look back and see that you've missed an entire section of photos or an entire adventure because of a speck of dust on that lens. So cleaning them is one that's easily solvable, but not one that always processes through in my head. So it was actually a big disadvantage to me. All right, some meat and potatoes pieces to delving into mastering your adventure photography armed only with your smartphone. So imagine gearing up for your next amazing expedition and not having to bring or not having the ability to bring along another camera. It is just your phone. So take each step slowly here so you can fully capture and think about how you would take in each one of these steps and how you would plan them for a photography expedition. I would fully suggest, if you're really interested and you really want to ingrain this into you, start writing out pieces, start thinking about each of these pieces as we go through these seven steps of basically how you can think and plan and use your mobile phone in the field to capture an adventure. All right, step one, it's really convenient for this, is getting into the right mindset. Adventure photography is as much about mindset as it is about technical skill. It's really about immersing yourself in the moment, feeling the pulse of excitement and embracing that unpredictability of the adventure ahead of you. This should happen before you've even set foot out on the trail. You want to immerse yourself in the mindset of being in that adventure and also only having your smartphone. Don't start thinking it's like, oh, maybe I could use that wide angle. Maybe I could use that fisheye, whatever it's going to be. Think only that you will have your smartphone. Get yourself set in that idea. And then start planning your shots. Let's say that you're going on this epic rock climbing adventure. Visualize the shots you want to capture. Maybe it's that determination etched on your friend's face as they reach for the next hold, the adrenaline coursing through your veins as you make your ascent. Maybe it's the details of feet on rock or somebody reaching out and doing a dyno. Maybe it's the chalk on the fingers, anything like that. Visualize and conceptualize each one of those shots that you want to take. All right, step two, after you've gotten yourself in that right mindset, you know you're only using your smartphone, you know that you're going to be needing to capture certain types of photos. Now it's time to choose exactly what it is that you're going to be capturing. Let's keep thinking about this epic rock climbing adventure that you're thinking about going on. Are you driving right to the base of where you will be climbing from? Are you going on an epic hike to get in there? Are you biking to get in there? What is that mode of transportation like to even get to the rock climb? And then once you're at the rock climb, how is it going to go for you? So are there viewpoints along getting to your destination? Will there be opportunities to take beautiful landscape photos going through there? Are there opportunities to place your friends as they're hiking along with all their climbing gear with these amazing backdrops behind them? Can you see your rock climbing spot from a distance and show people looking at it, kind of having that idea of like, that's where we're going. That's the epic thing we're going to do. Start picking out these spots along the way of where you want to capture things and what exactly it is that you want to capture in each one of those locations. Sometimes it's just a storytelling shot. Sometimes it's a detailed photo. Sometimes it's going to be the moment. You know this is the critical moment. It's the crux of the climb and somebody's going to be dynoing right at this moment. And you know you have to capture that. Whether they succeed or fail, you have to capture that moment during this adventure. That's what you need to be doing in step two here. It's starting to get a little bit more granular about what it is exactly that you're getting up to. Okay, step three. Now it's time to plan your shots out. So before you head on your adventure, you need to plan your shots. So you've now thought about the spots and what type of photos that you want to capture. Once you know those, now you need to plan exactly what it is that you're going to do. Are you going to have specific types of camera movement if you're shooting video? Do you want to be able to transition using sweeping behind trees or falling into a coffee cup or go from fire to fire or anything like that? You need to start planning out exactly what it is that you're going to be capturing in each one of these locations to help tell this story. And that can be as simple as show friends walking with viewpoint behind them. Or it can be as detailed as have camera pan over top of fire or look like it's falling into the fire so that we can pull it back out of the fire again at our next campsite. There are all sorts of different amounts of detail you can get into, and it really depends on how much planning you want to do, how much planning you need to do, and what's going to make you feel the most confident and comfortable while you're out on the trail. I know personally, if I'm capturing just some friends and I out hiking and just kind of screwing around and having a great day in the mountains, I think about those spots if I know the trail, and I go like, oh, I know I want them with this lake right here, and that's about as far as I go. But if it's a shoot for work, if it's a shoot for a client, then I get a lot more in depth about what it is that we're doing, why we're doing it, where we're doing it, how much we're including of the scene, how much we're including of the models. Do we need models in this scene? It gets really in depth. And that's because we cannot miss a shot during the shoot. It needs to line up specifically with work's needs or with the client's needs. And for some of you, that might be the way it works. For others, having everything pre-planned is going to make you feel way more confident because you won't be trying to think about that all the time while you're out adventuring. Or for some of you, having everything pre-planned is going to make you feel really bogged down and uncomfortable, and your creativity is going to really suffer. I do believe you do need a little bit of planning in advance and just not relying on winging it as you go, because you want to make sure everything ties together and feels the same. And over the course of a 6, 8, 10 hour day, things change. Your mindset changes. Everything can change in its feeling and the lighting and everything else. And so having a solid plan to tie everything together can make a huge difference. So plan a little bit, even if you don't really love doing it, and then see where the day takes you. But I like to kind of land somewhere in the middle and somewhere on the very detailed planning side if it's coming into a client. All right. Step 4 is easy. Get out in the action. Once you're out on your adventure, it's time to start shooting. Whether you're hurtling down a mountain trail on your bike, scaling a sheer rock face, be sure to keep your phone handy and ready to capture everything on the go. Now, you're going to want to make sure that you aren't so invested in the action, so invested in the rock climbing or anything like that, that you're not prepared to shoot, because you need to keep positioning yourself strategically to get the best shots. Whether that means getting down low to capture the speed and intensity of like a bike flying by, or finding a vantage point above your climbing partners to capture their ascent from a unique perspective, you need to be thinking about where else you are going to go during this adventure. I have seen a lot of people's backs while they're out on some adventure somewhere because the photographer is at the back taking photos and they haven't taken the time to get ahead of their friends, or maybe go off to the right onto a different climbing route with another belaying partner so that they can shoot them from the side. They are just kind of there and they're just kind of a part of the adventure, and that doesn't really work to tell the full fulsome story. Now, admittedly, I find it a lot easier to do this when it's models and a client and you're there for a photo shoot or there for a content capture shoot. If we're just out for a fun day and it's people I'm out with, we're just like, oh, do we really have to take another photo? I might not get as intense about it. I might be like, this is one great location, we're going to shoot something here. But I don't want to impact their adventure either. So it does depend on the timing and the situation that we're in. But for the most part, you do need to move around a bit more and you do need to allow yourself not to necessarily just fall fully into the action. Now, step 5, check your shot list. As you're going along, as you're shooting, as you're in this action, make sure you take a few minutes, a few seconds maybe at least, to look over your shot list and go, yep, we've caught that. Yep, we've caught that. Yep, we're here, or we're getting up to the crux point. I have to make sure I get this shot. Just make sure you haven't done all this work to build out a beautiful shot list and then just leave it and not look at it again. It's really important that you go back and you reference it, especially near the end when you're starting to get to those points where you can't capture some of these shots anymore and you're making sure that you have every little piece that you need to tell the story, because it can be really easy to forget about those important detail shots as you're in the midst of all this epic action. So before you wrap for the day, before you wrap in a location, just make sure you go back and check that shot list. All right, step 6. Don't be afraid to experiment a little. Your shot list is important. We just said that. But don't be afraid to go outside of it. Or if you start feeling like the shoot's going in a different direction and it still matches your vision, still matches the client's vision, go on. try, experiment, play around, get different angles, try different places, try different detail shots. It's digital. The only way we're going to be able to stop shooting is if our phones fill up or if we run out of battery. Otherwise, we're good to just keep going and going and trying tons of different things. Yes, this does add some steps in post-processing. It adds some time in post-processing. So definitely think it through if it's worthwhile or test it out before you actually shoot it. But try and experiment. And failure can sometimes lead to even better growth in the future. And something that you think might fail might actually work really, really well. So don't forget to play around. Don't forget to embrace different styles and angles and types of photography. All right, step 7. It's an easy one, post-processing. This is what we have done after the adventure is sadly over. Maybe we're back in the truck and riding on home. Maybe we're back on an airplane and we finally have a chance to look over the images. Whatever it is, take that time right away to start looking over the shots that you got. Flag them out in whatever method that you like to and start whittling into your best images, your best videos from the trip to start building out your post-production. And then from there, take it into whatever way you like to edit. I like using Lightroom Mobile when I'm on my phone or the iPad. I mean, I use Lightroom on my computer, obviously, as well. But you might really enjoy doing it in a totally different app. You might really enjoy transferring out of your phone and onto your laptop so you can use Capture One or you can use another editing program. Whatever your steps are for post-processing, start them from here. All right, and that's it. Those are my steps for capturing beginning to end a really amazing adventure. Now, to make your life a little bit easier, there's some must-have apps that you can use for mobile photography. Like I was just talking about, Lightroom Mobile is one of my favorites. It's a powerful photo editing app that offers professional-level editing tools right on your smartphone. It ties into Lightroom on your desktop. It doesn't tie into Lightroom Classic, unfortunately, but it does tie into the other version of Lightroom, which is pretty good. And it features things like exposure adjustment, color correction, masking, brushes, all the things you could possibly need to start creating beautiful work. And it also ties into mobile Photoshop, which allows you to get even more in-depth with those editing pieces, especially with tools like Generative Fill and Generative AI. Now, one of my favorite things to use Lightroom Mobile for is to sync my edits across all my devices. So I can start editing on my phone while I'm, you know, riding back from somewhere. I can get home and I can pop onto my laptop or pop onto the iPad that I didn't have with me and get right back into the editing exactly where I left off. It's a really convenient way to be able to make sure that you can just keep everything synced up nicely. And you can also sync edits across multiple images, which is really nice for starting a baseline before you get into some of those more specifics of brushes and vignetting and all those kind of fun things. One of my other favorite photography apps is Planet Pro for photographers. It's a comprehensive planning app designed specifically for us visuals. So you can calculate the position of the sun and the moon to predict the best times for golden hour and blue hour and where the sun and the moon will be in the sky. You can use it for location scouting and use augmented reality to scout locations and visualize how the sun will interact with the landscape or the Milky Way or pretty much anything. You can actually put specific 3D objects into places. You can see how the sun is going to interact with a specific building or anything like that that you want. You can also get into Milky Way and star trail planning. It's really this spectacular planning app. I had been using PhotoPills for quite a while, but I've got a photography friend here in Banff who put me onto this app, and it is brilliant, especially the augmented reality features of it and the way that you can tie in certain focal lengths and everything else into your planning process right in app is amazing. It is a steep learning curve, but so well worth the learning curve, especially if you're finding PhotoPills isn't quite capturing what you need. So those are two of my favorite apps to use for my mobile photography, but there are also some accessories that are going to make things significantly better. Because as an adventure photographer, having the right gear is essential to capturing those breathtaking moments while we're out on the go. So in addition to your keen eye and creative vision, investing in the right accessories can make shots better and can make a significant difference in the quality of your mobile photography. So bit number one, the Moment Mobile Photography Starter Kit. You could also go and get the Polar Pro Light Chaser Pro, which is a very similar setup and a very similar kit. It's basically a kit that allows you to add ergonomic grips and handles to be able to hold your phone better. It gives you access to adding filters or lenses onto the phone to be able to change your settings and your shutter speed and get everything feeling right in camera. It has a thin case that protects your camera as well, and a little pen to clean off your lenses, which we were just talking about is super important. So getting one of these mobile photography kits that can adapt your lenses to have circular polarizers, neutral density filters, can really make a huge difference for your photography. A portable power charger. I really like the one I have from Anker, but you can really get any sort of portable power charger that you want because we're shooting on our phones all day, especially using some of those more fun features and advanced features. We're going to deplete that battery a lot faster. So make sure you have a power source with you, especially if that's how you're shooting all of your images, just to keep your phone going all day long. The Manfrotto mini tripod. This is a versatile and compact tripod designed for mobile photographers. It's super sturdy, has an adjustable ball head, and it allows you to set up the tripod to shoot long exposures, shoot better video, maybe get yourself into photos or video as well. It just gives you a lot more flexibility, a lot more options, and it's really tiny, compact, and easy to travel with. If you do have a tripod that you love using for your big photography or with your mirrorless camera, you can add a mobile grip to the top of that just goes straight into the Arca mount or whatever type of mount you have on your tripod. But they tend to be a bit bigger and a bit heavier and a lot harder to run around with. So if you're going out light and fast, getting a mini mobile tripod can be huge. And the last thing would be a waterproof phone case, a waterproof phone cover, whatever you want to call it, especially if you're somebody who is going out paddleboarding or kayaking or you're going out swimming or anything like that. You need something like this to be able to protect your phone against, well, dropping it in a lake or dropping it in a river. Now, getting one that is photography specific versus just one that's one of those bags that you can put on and hang it around your neck is really, really important. I didn't know this. Picked up one of the ones that was just one of the bags that you put it in, wraps up nice and tight, seals off, becomes totally waterproof, except that plastic that is in between your phone and the water is really hard for your camera to shoot through, which makes total sense the first time you use it and the first time you try. But didn't think that through before starting, so it works out really well when I'm not planning on shooting much and I just want to cover up my phone when I'm going out for a quick canoe or a quick kayak. But if I'm actually wanting to shoot video and shoot photos, I always have to take my phone out of that case, and that kind of defeats the purpose of the case. So getting one that is made for your phone specifically to protect it from going into the water, so like an underwater housing for your phone, is kind of critical because it gives you a much better shooting location. It typically has a piece of glass right over top of where the lenses are, and that just enables you to capture better and clearer and honestly significantly higher quality images than just a plastic bag that you drop your phone into. So look for that waterproof housing for your phone. You don't have to spend thousands on it or even hundreds on it. I've seen a few cases on Amazon and other stores like that where you can get one for $90-$120 pretty easily. So look for what matches what you need and how you're shooting, but definitely get one for your phone if you're going anywhere near bodies of water. And there you have it, adventurers. We've journeyed through this exciting world of mobile photography for our adventures and talked a little bit about the way I approach shooting things on my phone. It is definitely not my go-to. I will be 100% honest there. It happens. It's part of what I do. I captured my entire hike up Cascade Mountain on just a phone. I captured my entire hike up a few other different peaks and a few other different trail runs just using my phone. But I will be honest, if I have my choice, I will almost always go back to my mirrorless. But the mobile is there and it is a beautiful, powerful piece of technology. And there are some amazing creators out there who are doing everything on their phone. I have a couple of friends here in town who are making whole careers out of it, just shooting on mobile. So it is a totally viable, totally amazing way to capture our adventures and frees us up to be a little bit more adventurous. I do find when I'm out there with my mirrorless, let's say I have it in the canoe or anything with me and I don't have a fully waterproof housing on it, that I feel a little bit panicked occasionally, especially when we get big waves that come through or I don't want to tip the canoe and lose my big camera. But if I have my phone inside a waterproof case, I'm not nearly as worried. I'm able to just sink into the adventure and enjoy it a little bit more if I'm not worried about the tech side of everything. So take that into account. Decide what is right for your type of photography, but just know mobile is a great, fantastic option. And most importantly, don't forget that true essence of adventure photography. It's not about our gear or our accolades. It's about those experiences and the memories. It's about getting out and seeing this big, beautiful world of ours and telling the stories that are important to us and being in those stories. So get out there. Seek out the beauty in every corner of our world and let your smartphone tell your story and show the magic of your adventures. Amazing. As always, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Travel and Adventure Photography School. If you've enjoyed our journey together and want to continue exploring the exciting world of photography, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. I'd love if you would rate it for me and what you'd like to see more of. And your feedback and your ideas for what you want to talk about are really welcome. So don't hesitate to reach out to me on Instagram at Robert Massey Photography. And yeah, let me know what you want to learn about or just chat about photography in general. All right, until then, keep chasing your dreams. Keep capturing the magic and the majesty of this big, beautiful world of ours. And above all else, keep adventuring. Bye for now.